الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. وقال الله تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم على حبيبك ونبيك سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. جزى الله عنا سيدنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. اللهم آته الوسيلة والفضيلة وابعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته واجزه عنا أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. أما بعد. Respected elders, scholars, حفاظ, and my dear brothers and sisters. First thing, I like to congratulate the organizers of this gathering that they thought about such an important topic at a, such a critical time when it's really its need of the time. This topic, to know about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the foundation of our iman. Just imagine, God forbid, if a person would lose his iman or his connection, his trust in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then what's left there? Nothing. Everything is gone. So it's really an important topic, extremely important topic. And at the same time, I would like to just share this thought, I can't call it advice, for all of us, that number one, we make sure we listen to all of these talks with a lot of respect for not the speaker, it's the topic that is being discussed. Because the importance of the topic is all depends on what is the subject matter of the topic. And the subject matter here is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are so many narrations. Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya rahimahullah have also narrated in Fadail al-Durood that someone would say salah and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once in a gathering. And he said it loudly and everyone said it after him, they all were forgiven because of sending that salah and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what a beautiful thing that scholars have said about salah and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that every ibadah has a possibility of being rejected. Any ibadah. It can be, we perform salah, we don't know if we got anything out of it. You make dua, you don't know if it is accepted. You fast, we don't know. Hajj, we don't know. They say, except for the salah and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's such an ibadah that can never be rejected. One of the Arab poets have said a beautiful poem narrating the same, conveying the same message. Adim as-salata ala al-nabiy Muhammadi, which means be in the habit of constantly sending salah on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because فَقَبُولُهَا حَتْمٌ بِغَيْرِ تَرَدُّدِ, that has to be accepted without any doubt. أَعْمَالُنَا بَيْنَ الْقَبُولِ وَرَدِّهَا إِلَّا الصَّلَاةَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ مُحَمَّدِ. All of our actions have a possibility of being accepted or rejected except the salah on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is always accepted. This is not my topic, but I just wanted to remind this at the beginning, as this is the beginning of the session, that we would be hearing this name again and again. Keep on using this opportunity to remind ourselves of sending salah and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The topic of my discussion here is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a prophet of Allah. Inshallah, you would hear many other topics. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a father, as a teacher, many different topics must be there. But remember, all of those things about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are based on if he was a messenger or not. Otherwise, we may talk about a teacher who was extremely successful teacher. And then we can choose him as a topic, as a subject of our topic, and we can spend the whole day talking about that person's experience or that person's proficiency in being a teacher. But now, outside of teacher, what was he? Nothing. This person as a husband. But when you compare him in other fields of life, you can't really take him as an example. This person as a father. Extremely great father. But the wife says, not such a good husband. Good father, good husband, good to the family. Neighbors say, we don't know who he is. You would find people, they are good in certain fields of life. The thing that makes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most perfect example in every field of life is that he is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And see, for the argument's sake, there is nothing like this, but for the argument's sake, if you find someone who is best in all of these different fields of life, but he is not a messenger of Allah, then of course still his life is not an exemplary life for us, because someone else could do the same thing as he is doing, and then they both will be equal. But here we are talking about the person who is the messenger of Allah. There is a lot more. This is something that we have to understand. As we learn few things here, there will be a lot more for us to learn about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This would be just so that we understand the importance of this topic. Otherwise, say if today someone would come and ask us, what is the difference between a prophet and a person who is not a prophet? Number two, what is the difference between a person, between the prophet and a follower of a prophet? What is the difference between the prophet and between the prophet of the prophets? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's real position is, he is Nabiyul Anbiya. He is the prophet of all prophets. And Quran speaks about it. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُم مِّن كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّ. Allah took a covenant from all the Anbiya that you must believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever he would come. There is a lot of things that we learn from this ayah, but that will take me away from my topic. And therefore, with this brief introduction, I just like to jump on my topic, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a prophet of Allah. Why do we need to learn this? Remember, this is a topic. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a messenger, as a prophet. It's a topic that is not a topic of a discussion in a conference. It's a topic of discussion in every Muslim's life. This is something that every Muslim should know. I'm not exaggerating here. This is something every believer, child and adult, men and women, they all should know this topic. Say tomorrow someone comes to you and says, how do you know that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a prophet? And then you present some examples of why you believe that he was a prophet of Allah, and that person brings a person totally unheard of that he believes is a prophet, and he says, why don't you believe in this man? And you ask him, how do you know he's a prophet? And he brings similar arguments to what you have presented. And he says, now you believe in him as a prophet? How do we differentiate between the true prophet of Allah and those who are just claiming to be? How do we know, or at least forget even no one presents anyone else, how could I convince anyone that the prophet I believe in is truly a messenger that was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? At least we should be able to do that. We should be in that position to tell people, I can certify, I can guarantee, and I can stand for my claim that he was a messenger of Allah. You want to talk about it? Let's talk about it. And inshallah, this is what we are going to try to achieve through our talk between today and tomorrow. That how can we really talk to any person after this to be able to say, I know he was a prophet. You can never put me in doubt about that. Generally, the concept people have in their mind about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he is an Arabian prophet. And from there, you would find when people write articles, they do a lot of research on how to word their articles, how to put message, hidden messages as we say, in between the lines, in such a way that we would appreciate what they are saying, unknowingly, we will be getting a wrong message from there. So many books of seerah. This is not secret, and I would like everyone to understand this. So many books of seerah that unfortunately we get so impressed with, and we advise people to read, and we are so proud that, you know, non-Muslims are writing the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have these hidden statements in there. I don't want to say agendas in there, but at least that hidden information over there, that knowingly or unknowingly, because the person does not believe in the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how is he going to really present him as a messenger? He wants to present him as a good man, because he believes he was a good man. Is that enough? Abu Talib believed he was a good man. That was not enough. Not only he was a good man, Abu Talib did for him what me and you can never do for him. But did not believe in him as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So people now, they would write it in such a way that it seems that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an Arab. So Islam is for Arabs and Arabs are Muslims. Islam is for Arabs and Arabs are Muslims. Both statements are wrong. Islam is not for Arabs only. It's a universal message. Unlike all the other religions that are in the world at this time. You know, I don't want to go too much into these type of things, but about 6-7 months back, we were approached by some people who believe in different prophet, Qadianis. So, I just asked them a simple question. I said, tell me, how is his message universal? Say, if I want to present his message to the scholars of Saudi Arabia, of Syria, of Jordan, what should I tell them? There is nothing I can tell them. All I have to tell them, that you know, all of you, you think you are Muslim? They will say yes. So I have to tell them, no, the whole world was Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the world and he converted people into Islam. He brought people into Islam. When this man came, you all became kafirs now. And now, as long as you don't believe in him, you won't be a Muslim. Subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to bring people from kufr into Islam. This man comes to take people out of Islam into kufr. So the messenger towards what? Inviting people to what? Doing what? So, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's message is universal. We don't want to even go into that detail of how it is universal. Really, it's a topic by itself, and ulama understand this. They know it. To understand how his message is universal, the least for us to understand, it's been 1400 years now. And this deen is being followed from the smallest village in the world, the most uneducated person in the world, to the most knowledgeable people and leaders in the world, in every field of life. People are following this. In every country, people are following this deen of Allah, following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And no one feels that by following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm out of place. And I don't know really what I'm doing. I'm just really doing something that is taking me backward. You always feel that you are moving forward through the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Islam is not for Arabs. And Arabs are Muslims? Yes, there are many of them, but there are some Arabs that are non-Muslims. Remember, now we want to go further with this topic, step by step. And I would like your full, undivided attention to understand what we will be talking about. And not only to understand, I would like you to remember it. And then I would like to go back and discuss it with your family members, with your friends who are not here, and try to repeat these points again and again in your life until you have memorized them, and now you are ready to discuss this topic with anyone, inshallah. First thing, why do we need a prophet? That's important to understand. Say you tell someone, you know, he was a great prophet and we had all of these prophets, and all of a sudden a person says, but I don't need a prophet. Everything that you mention is gone. You may have given a beautiful lecture of 2 hours to this man and you feel you're so proud of yourself that it was so convincing, but after 2 hours he says, but I don't think I need a prophet. Everything is gone. So first thing, we should understand the need of the prophet. Why do we need prophets? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to this world, and He sent us for a purpose. It's not that we are just toys that people can play with. We have some important goals in our lives. What are the things that we are supposed to be achieving in our lives? What are we supposed to do in this world? There are two ways. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, do what I'm telling, what I want you to do. Ya Allah, what is that? I'm not going to tell you. If you get it right, I'll send you to Jannah. You don't get it right, you go to Jahannam. I don't care. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His kindness, His rahmah, did not want to use that method with us. So He said, okay, I will tell you what to do. I will teach you what to do. But I will not talk to each and every person individually. Why? It's not too much for Allah. You know why? It's very simple. We will still have criminals in the world. Do you think if Allah would talk to every person, no one would do anything wrong? Allah talked to Iblis. We have that example there. He talked to Iblis, Shaitan. And still he disobeyed Allah. So now, with all the criminals in the world, and all different type of crimes, people would come out and claim that God told me to kill this man. What are you going to tell him? God told me to kill him. So now he's saying that I got a revelation. God told me. What are you going to do? Are you going to punish me for something that God wanted me to do? You're a kafir. I'm a Muslim by killing this man. See? So that would open the doors to all the crimes in the world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would choose a person that would receive the message from Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure that this person would fit in certain criterion by which everyone would be satisfied that he is a messenger of Allah. So no one now can say, why I am not the messenger? Because you don't fit in that criteria. How do you know he's a messenger? Because he fits in this criteria. Simple. If there is a classroom, in the classroom, we have projectors. We have a lot of different types of pens, pencils, coloring books, a lot of different colors. We have so many equipment over there. And we bring all the students there. We even have a laptop, we have desktop, we have every technology sitting on their desks. And we put all of these children in those rooms. And we tell them, start studying. After 3 months will be your exam. Goodbye, we'll see you after 3 months. Do you think these students will do anything? They would be able to do anything even if they want to do it? No, they need a teacher. The main part of the class is missing. There is no teacher. In fact, we know. And here we can see the hikmah there. We know if there is a lot of equipment in the class, that is the class where you would make sure teacher will be there first before the students. Otherwise, they will destroy all the equipment. Who did Allah send in this world first? The students or teacher? Adam alayhi salam was a messenger of Allah. Teacher came first in the class. Why? Because the world is full of so many things. Forget about the world. We, our souls, are full of so many things. Emotions, desires, needs. Sometimes the person is angry. Sometimes in the mood of love. Sometimes in the mood of enjoyment. I mean, so many different things in our life. How should I balance this? How should I use these things? Who's going to teach me about it? If Allah would have left it to me, it would be really adab for me, punishment for me, that deal with it the right way. But no one is going to tell you what to do. I mean, even after knowing what to do, we make mistakes. Imagine if we didn't know what to do. So, this is why we need a teacher. This is why we need a messenger and a prophet from Allah that will teach us on how to deal with things in this life. Clear? Do we understand the need of the prophets now? Moving on. We are going to skip all the anbiya from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam all the way to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And we'll come to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Someone comes and tells you that how do you know he was a prophet? First thing you want to ask this person, do you believe in any of the prophets? Do you believe in any of the prophets? If that person says yes, I believe in Musa alayhi salam. MashaAllah, very good. Tell me, how do you know that Musa alayhi salam was a prophet and a messenger of Allah? Let him prove it to you. This is called setting the common ground. Otherwise, you know what will happen? You will talk to this man and you talk to him about so many miracles and so many beauties of our deen, and at the end he says, I'm not convinced. Just that word, I'm not convinced. What are you going to do? Not only this, the reality is, if that person knows what he's doing, he won't just tell you, I'm not convinced. You know what he's going to do? He will laugh. After you finish talking to him with such convincing proofs, he will laugh at you and he will say, what does this mean? And here, you are being put in such a difficult situation that you put out everything that you knew. And at the end, he's laughing at you on the basis of that. So first thing you want to tell him, do you believe in any prophet? Let him set the common ground. I believe in Musa alayhi salam. Why do you believe in Musa alayhi salam? So he will say, because Musa alayhi salatu wasalam split the ocean into 12 roads. MashaAllah, very good. Was there any other prophet? Yeah, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Did he split the ocean too? No, he didn't. So how did Ibrahim alayhi salam become a prophet? That tells you that he doesn't know what he's talking about. This is not a common ground. The common ground here that he's trying to say, you may want to educate him and inform him that the point that you're trying to say is that Musa alayhi salam performed miracles. And so did Ibrahim alayhi salam, so did Isa alayhi salam, and therefore whoever performs that miracle, you would believe in him as a prophet of Allah. Okay, understandable. Although it's not enough, as we'll go to it inshallah. But understandable. Now, this person says that, you know, Musa alayhi salam performed these miracles. He may give you one or two or three, four miracles, as many miracles as he remembers. That's fine. Now you tell him, let me tell you the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you tell him few miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tell him, what reason do you have now to reject Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's prophethood? You said a person who would perform miracles is a prophet. You brought some examples, I brought some examples. I believe in what you're saying here, there is no reason for you to reject in what I'm saying. This is just an example of setting a common ground. So this will be the first starting point. Do you believe in any prophet or not? If he doesn't believe, then you discuss the first point with him as we discussed the need of a prophet. Then he doesn't, don't discuss with him the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he doesn't feel the need of a prophet, then why do you even discuss Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a prophet? There is no need to even discuss that point. This is just like Islam is not a true deen and you try to prove to him, no, salah is an important thing in our deen. Then what is he going to do with salah if he doesn't believe in Islam? What is he going to do with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a prophet if he doesn't believe in the need of the prophethood? It's very important we understand these points. And we know, we take them step by step. So now, where did we stand with that man? Do you believe in any prophet or not? If he believes, prove to me the prophethood of that person. Whoever that is. And then on the basis of whatever proves he's using for the prophethood of that person, even if he brings a false person, keep that in mind. Even if someone who is not even a prophet, but he's presenting that, and he's presenting some of that person's miracles. Don't argue about that right now. Present the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tell him, do you have any reason of rejecting Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now? He shouldn't. If he does not believe in the Prophet, as I said, then you'll be going back with it. Point number one with that man. Now this person believes in the prophets. And we set some common ground and we discussed on the basis of that common ground. Now we want to educate that person and whoever we talk to and ourselves that this is not enough. Performing miracles is not enough to believe in someone being a prophet. That is not enough. This is why I said, even if you bring someone who's not a prophet, that's fine. Because this is not enough. There are five criteria by which we have to judge a person to see if he is truly a messenger or not. Five criteria. And a person has to fit well in all of these five categories. If one of the five is missing, that person is not a messenger of Allah. Five things. This is something that we need to remember and memorize inshallah. Simple, very simple and easy things. Number one, that person's personal life. What was he? What type of human being was he? Simple words. What type of human being was he? What type of life did he live? What did he do with his life? What were his morals? What type of behavior he had with people, with his family, with his neighbors, with his friends, with people in his community, with his followers, with people who would not follow him, with his enemies? What was this person's life? So we talk about the personal characteristics of this person. And here I will tell you one thing. You always stand with this. For anyone who is believing in false prophethood will not be willing to discuss this point with you. They will run away from you. That person will say, no, let's talk about miracles. Listen, I'm not ready to talk about miracles yet. Tell me who this man was. First thing, I want to know him as a human being before I would know him as a messenger. From human being, he will become a messenger. If you can't prove to me that he was a right human being, then how could he even be a messenger to all human beings? So let's discuss that person's personal life. And you will be surprised to see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran al-Kareem challenges the whole world, and especially the kuffar of that time who lived their lives around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, O Muhammad, tell them. Allah is not saying it himself. In Quran he's revealing and he says, tell them, O Muhammad, فَقَدْ لَبِثْتُ فِيكُمْ عُمْرًا مِّن قَبْلِهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ I have lived a long life amongst you people before becoming a prophet. Then tell me something wrong I may have done during those 40 years of my life. Quran is challenging. فَقَدْ لَبِثْتُ فِيكُمْ عُمْرًا عُمْرًا A life. Really, 40 years is a life. You saw me as an orphan. And you know when people are orphans, they do all kind of things. You saw me as an orphan growing up amongst you people. Abu Jahl, you know my childhood. Abu Lahab, you have seen me in my own home. When I grew up, you saw me as a young man in the society. You saw my marriage. You saw my life after marriage. You saw me as the one of the most poorest person in Mecca. You saw me find later on getting very rich. What did I do after becoming rich? Where did I use my money? What did I do with all the money that I got? When he got married to Khadija radiallahu anha, she gave him all of her assets. One of the wealthiest women in Arabia. She would just give everything to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used all of that in helping the needy people in the community. We will come to that. You have seen all different parts of my life, especially these different stages where if a person was to do something wrong, he would be doing it at this time. You have seen all of these different stages of my life. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Then don't you understand? If I didn't do wrong as an orphan, as a young man, as a youth, and as a very poor person, as a wealthy person, married person, non-married, got married at the age of 25, as a father, if I didn't do wrong with any of these things, in fact, that was the time when everyone would call him الصَّادِقُ الْأَمِينَ the most truthful and the most trustworthy person in Arabia. At this time again, I'm not going into the details of this. I will come back to this inshallah. But let me just briefly introduce the five topics, the five criterias by which we have to see a person to see if he is a prophet. Personal life, number one. Number two, if the person is living a really good life, he's a nice man, good behaving person. Still, that's not enough to make him a prophet. He claims to be prophet. If he doesn't claim to be a prophet, we don't have to worry about it. If he doesn't claim, he's not a prophet. A prophet has to claim to be a prophet. So now when he claims to be a prophet with all of those good things that he have done in his life, we will look at the second part. Is there anything that supports your claim? Can you show us some miracles? Now we will go to the miracles. So miracles will be number two. This person did perform a lot of miracles. Is that enough? No, it's not enough. Miracles are not enough. These two points together are not enough. Why? We want to see if it's a coincidence that this person is able to do something, or he learns some type of magic or something by which he is able to do some extraordinary things. So we want to see his prophecies. When he tells us about things that have not happened yet, if those prophecies are fulfilled exactly the way he mentioned it. So we are going to look at his prophecies. Number three, this is number three. Number four. Now, he did all of these things. Very good. Everyone admires him, the society. When he claimed to be the prophet, we asked him for miracles. He showed us miracles. And then he prophesied some things and they turned out to be true. Not enough. Why? You know what's missing? You know what's missing? The most important part is missing here. What are the things that he's teaching us? If a person does all of these things and he has nothing to teach us, what are we going to do by following him? I'm a prophet. So what I'm supposed to do now? Just believe I'm a prophet. That's it. Go to paradise. So, we will look at his teachings. That's number four. We will look at that person's teachings. What type of teachings did he leave behind? What type of education? By following those teachings, how did it affect people who would follow those teachings? People that were around him. When they followed those teachings, how did that affect their lives? Did it really change those people's life or not? If it did change, then what type of things did they do? Like, what was the change? We don't need just few changes that the person doesn't lie anymore. He doesn't cheat anymore. That's not enough. We need a comprehensive teaching where we can learn from this person that how to worship Allah, how to be nice to each other, how to treat our children, how to treat our enemies. We need to learn all the prayers, all the du'as, all the fasting, everything we have to learn from this man. Teach us everything. And really, if we look at the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are so comprehensive, so detailed, that he did not leave anything out. Everything that we needed for the success of in this life and akhirah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already informed us about it. And it's something very unique about him. That no other prophet, people don't know, those who claim to be followers of any prophet, ask them, when your prophet was standing in prayer, what did he recite? Simple question. A Muslim child will be able to tell you, what did Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recite? Ask their best scholars, when your prophet was standing in a prayer before Allah, what did he recite? Believe me, no one knows. And this is why, I don't know how many of you have visited the places of worship of different religions. I'm not just pointing to any religion. Just visit it any time. When they get up and they gather for a prayer and they stand for a prayer, they will sing a song. Once we had a dialogue, and I was supposed to present Islam, he's supposed to present his religion. And it was 10 minutes. Okay, very good. So, 10 minutes, I go and tell them about Islam. Quickly, I'm rushing it because I want to tell them about the importance of Islam. And he comes, let's sing a song. So I said, maybe that's the beginning, hamd and salah, something like that, Next time, he finishes 10 minutes, sing a song. Then I get my chance of 10 minutes. Next time, he comes, 10 minutes, let's sing a song. I said, subhanAllah, if he's going to keep on singing, who I'm talking to now? Why? Because when you don't even know what your prophet recited to Allah, when he wake up, what did he say? When he slept, what did he say? When he is in salah, what did he say? When he was fasting, how did he fast? When did he break his fast? How many days did he fast? You don't know none of this. So teachings of the prophet. After all of this, there is one more thing that we need to know. And that is something that Quran repeatedly talks about it. I'll let you think about that one. And we'll talk about it tomorrow. Inshallah. Let me go back to number one because I don't want the wrong time to run out on us. So the first point we said was the personal life of this prophet. Most of the discussions that will be taking place in this gathering here will be, I think, geared towards this topic. Personal life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he's dealing with his family, how he's dealing with his friends, how he's dealing with his students, how he's dealing with people in the battlefield. I mean, this is basically what we'll be talking about. So it's his personal life. We are not even touching maybe most of the other four topics. But very briefly, I just want to mention few examples so that we remember these things and we can keep our connection to this topic. Personal life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 35 years old. How many years before the Nabuwa? 5 years. The Kuffar of Quraysh are building the Kaaba. And now we all know what I'm talking about. And they had a big dispute on who is going to place the black stone on its place. And they had a tradition that if they cannot settle anything, then they would bring a pot full of blood and they dip their hands in it. Once they have done that, then they will not take it back. Now they have to have a war. So they brought the pot. They dipped their hands. And then someone says, you know, we are going to be destroying our souls. How about if we agree on someone making that decision between us? Okay, the first person that will enter from that door. Okay, we all agree. And still there was a possibility the man that would enter from the door, someone would say, he's from your clan. And subhanAllah, this is not coincident and there is no coincident in the dictionary of Iman. This is 5 years before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will invite them to La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted all of those people in the whole Arabia to be sitting by the Kaaba and witness for the truthfulness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first man that entered from there was Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as soon as they saw him, every book will tell you that right away the statement that came out of every person's mouth was As-Sadiq al-Ameen, Radina Radina. We all are pleased because this is truthful and trustworthy man. 5 years later, are you going to say he's a liar? We don't trust him? As-Sadiq al-Ameen, Radina Radina. Where did you make that statement? By the Kaaba. SubhanAllah, see how Allah is just making sure that everything is being situated properly for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, every time you go to Kaaba, Abu Jahl, when you see the black stone, what does that black stone reminds you of? It reminds you that the person who placed that black stone in its place was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah did not allow anyone but His own messenger to place that black stone in its proper place. Of course, this is a whole seerah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's personal life is a whole seerah. I just like to very briefly discuss two things that are very, very difficult for a person to really be 100% doing it the way it's supposed to be. Which means passing it with 100% marks. Two simple things. One is the forbearing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How forbearing he was. That is known as hilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And number two, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's generosity. Just these two things as an example in his life. How did he manage these two things in his life? As I said, there could be hundreds of things really. And books of seerah are full of those. But as I said, just two things. And you can challenge the world by these two things that I would be mentioning as just an example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's pure life as a messenger of Allah that bring anyone else that had these qualities the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had them. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah narrates in his Musnad. Imam Ibn Hibban rahimahullah narrates in his Sahih. Imam Hakim rahimahullah narrates in Al-Mustadrak. Imam Tabrani rahimahullah narrates in his Musnad. And Allama Haythami rahimahullah narrates it in Majma' al-Zawa'id, and he says this is an authentic hadith. They're giving the references of all of these books that these scholars have narrated it with an authentic chain of narrators. I'm telling you this so that you be sure of what you're talking about. During my talk, I will not be narrating any hadith that anyone can tell you it's a weak hadith. Only those that everyone would know that it's an authentic hadith. Whereas, I'll tell you one thing. When talking to non-Muslims, believe me, our weak hadiths are more authentic than any book, even if they may call it a divine book that they can present to us. But that's not something that I want to talk about at this time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came out of his home. There was a person, a Jewish rabbi, who started becoming friend, trying to spend some time with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he had some special intention in his mind that no one knew about. He was trying to find some opportunity to get what hit in his mind out. He was trying to get it out. What was that? He himself says, I read in our books that the last and the final of the messengers would be such. One of his description would be, يَسْبِقُ حِلْمُهُ غَضَبُ, that his forbearance will always be ahead of his anger. وَلَا يَزِيدُهُ شِدَّةَ الْجَهْلِ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا حِلْمًا, and the more you treat him ignorantly, which means you be bad to him, you mistreat him, the more forbearing and forgiving he would be. He said, this is what I read. In addition to all the other description, keep in mind, the amazing fact about this hadith is, the narrator of the hadith is, you know who? Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu, who was a Jewish rabbi, and he accepted Islam. So he says, لَمَّا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ, when Allah wanted, أَنْ يَهْدِيَ زَيْدْ بْنِ السَّعُنَّ, when Allah wanted to give hidayah to one of our major ministers, our big rabbi, Zayd ibn Sa'unnah, he came and he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, with every other sign that was in our books, I recognize him that he is the person, except for these two things, that يَسْبِقُ حِلْمُهُ غَضَبَ وَلَا يَزِيدُهُ شِدَّةَ الْجَهْلِ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا حِلْمًا. So I wanted to try this. This is why I started becoming friend with him. فَخَرَجَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَى جَنَازَةِ رَجُلٍ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of his home. And it was a time when he is about to lead a janazah. When he left his home, a villager came and approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, this is not the time when he's going for janazah. He just came out of the home this time. So he came out. There was another man with him. لا أراه إلا علي. He says, I think it was Ali radiallahu anhu. A villager came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Muhammad, I have invited the people of my village to Islam. And I promise them, if they do accept Islam, Allah will open the doors of the worldly treasures for them. You shouldn't be doing that. But this is what he did. That you would get a lot of rizq, a lot of sustenance. You know, you won't have to work so hard and Allah will just give you. I promise them that. Ya Rasulullah, now the situation is, after they accepted Islam, we had no rain since then. So the situation have gone worse. My fear is they are going to turn away from Islam. It would be nice if you could help them, Ya Rasulullah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked around to this man that is with him, as if he's asking him, do we have something? And the man says, we don't have anything. Everything is finished. So Zayd says, I took the opportunity. I said, Muhammad, we are friends. Why do you have to worry about it? Here, I can give you 80,000 golden coins. And you pay me back with some dates. At the end of the month, I will come back to you. Just pay it back to me at the end of the month. After 30 days, I'm giving you 30 days from today. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, MashaAllah, very good. And he takes the coins from him, he gives the whole thing to the villager. 80,000. So you go and distribute it to your community. The man is gone. He says, 3 days before the end of the month, I came back. Now he disappeared. 3 days before the end of the month, I came back. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to a janazah. And this is what he says. وَمَعَهُ أَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرُ وَعُثْمَانُ وَعَلِيٍ. He especially names these sahaba that they were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam along with a large group of many other sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in. Of course, it's a janazah. And sahaba would attend. So he specifically mentioned that even all of these great sahaba were there. When they finished salatul janazah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فَرَجْعَ وَجَلَسَ إِلَى جِدَارٍ. He came back, he sat against a wall. He must be a little tired. So he sat against a wall. I went to him and I grabbed him with his dress, with his cloth, with a sheet. I said, Ya Muhammad, you borrowed the money from me and you don't want to pay me. I know you're going to hide away from me after 3 days. Pay it to me right now because I know you always cheat people. I have experienced this by being with you. This is what he says. He says, now I have been with you for some days. I spent some days with you. And this is what I have seen from you, that you like to cheat. What? First thing I will grab the person, I said, prove to me. And this man says, وَنَظَرْتُ إِلَىٰ عُمَرَ. I was keeping my eyes on Umar. And he says, I saw his eyes turning around like the stars and the galaxy keeps on turning around. And he says, Ay adu Allah, O enemy of Allah, what are you doing? What I'm hearing from you, I swear by Allah, if I wasn't afraid that it will be too late for you if I kill you to accept Islam, I would have killed you right now. I'm giving you a little chance so that Prophet can talk to you. Subhanallah. Again, another topic. But Umar radiallahu anhu's concern for this man, he deserves to be killed, but I'm not going to do it. Who knows, he may accept Islam right now. So Umar, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looks at Umar radiallahu anhu and he says, Umar, inna kunna ahwaja ila ghayri hadha. We needed something different than what you just said. Something else would have been better for both of us. That you ask me, subhanAllah, the Prophet of Allah, you ask me to pay him in kindness and ask him to demand it in kindness. Then you tell him, you know, you want to ask for it, okay, ask nicely. We will, inshallah, give it to you. Don't worry, we are not going anywhere. And ask, stand in front of him, say to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah, you're going to pay him. So, ask me to pay him with kindness and ask him to demand it in kindness. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umar, although there are 3 days left, but you scared him. So here, take him with you and pay him for it. And then he called him and he whispered something to him. This person, Zayd, doesn't know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whispered. When Umar radiallahu anhu paid him back, now, this person is a Jew. He was a Yahud. And it could be, if really, if a person did not trust Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would think, what did he say to him in his ear? Maybe Umar will take me there. He's saying, okay, go ahead. Umar, take him and pay him for it. And then he will never come back. Because he said something, Umar. But this man knew who this man is. He knew who he is dealing with. So he said, when Umar radiallahu anhu paid me for it, he paid 20 sa' extra. So I asked him, what is this for? He said, at the end when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whispered to me, he said to me, to pay you this much extra because I scared you. Then he said to me, Umar, do you know who I am? Because he came, used a different name for himself. People knew him with his name, but did not know him with his face. Umar, do you know me? He said, no. He said, I'm Zayd ibn Sa'unna. Al-Hibr al-Yahudi, are you that Jewish rabbi that's well known? Yes, I'm that man. مَا حَمَلَكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ مَا فَعَلْتَ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ذَلِكَ Why did you do that to Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم? He told him, that was the reason. I wanted to see these two qualities in him. Now I'm convinced. Now let me go back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right there he went back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. The narrator of the hadith is a Jewish rabbi. And the one who went through this experience is a Jewish rabbi. And they both agree that our Torah said this about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just imagine, a person comes and behaves with us like this, especially if it is in front of your students, in front of people, in the masjid, someone curses at you. How would we handle it? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way he handled this situation, especially when he is along all of his sahaba, and this person comes all by himself. They have the full opportunity of doing anything they want. But no. Let's treat him the right way. We know the hadith of the Sahabi, a villager that came to Medina Munawwara. He urinated in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba are extremely upset. We will be upset. We learn the respect of masajid from who? From Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who had more respect for masajid than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as this person is urinating, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تزرموه دعوه. Now don't disturb him. Let him finish. He started it anyway. Now don't disturb him. Let him finish. Don't disturb him in between. After he's done, that person says, I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he called me. He said to me that this is not what the masajid are built for. At the end he says, Wallahi ma darabani, wala kaharani. I swear he never touched me. He never raised his voice on me. He just explained to me the purpose of the masajid. Anas radiallahu anhu, the khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who came to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the age of 10. And for 10 years he served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, one day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me to do some of his work. I said, Wallahi la afal. I'm not going to do it. Young boy. I'm not going to do it. وَفِي نَفْسِيَ نَفْعَلَ It was in my mind that I will do it. But I'm just trying to show my attitude to him now. No, I'm not going to do it. So he said, Subhanallah, I left then with the intention of doing it. Then I saw some children playing on the street. So I stood right there watching the game. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew I would do it. So he was waiting. But when I got too late to go back, he came out looking for me. He found me standing there watching the game. All I saw was a man came from my back. He held my eyes. And he said, do you know who I am? And I said, no, I don't know. And then he moved his hands and I realized it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he asked me, did you do what I asked you to do? Oh, I just forgot because I was watching the game. Okay, don't mind. Don't worry. Just go and do it now. Anas radiallahu anhu says, 10 years, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never touched me and never said, Subhanallah, look at this. مَا قَالَ لِشَيْءٍ فَعَلْتُهُ لِمَا فَعَلْتَهُ He never asked me about something when I did it, why did you do it? And if I didn't do something, he never said, how come you didn't do it? Never in 10 years. Look at the hilm, subhanallah. He never said, how come you didn't do it? Look at our attitude with our families. I told you, I've been telling you for the last 3 days, you're putting too much salt. Hilm. And really, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life is full of this halm. One sahaba are upset. He comes out, he sees them sitting together, and they're discussing something, and they're all, you could see by their faces, you know, the expression is telling you they're extremely angry. What's the matter? What happened? They say, Ya Rasulullah, you know some people are making some poems against you and they're using your name in it and then they're cursing at you and then they're just keep on making up things against you. Subhanallah, when the people of Quraysh, when they used to curse at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to call him Mudhammam. What's his name? His name is Muhammad. Muhammad means the person who's always been admired. Mudhammam is the person who's always being cursed. So they used to say this Mudhammam, this Mudhammam, this Mudhammam. They used to use it in their poetry. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. Sahaba are upset. He smiled. And he said, انظروا كيف صرف الله عني شتم قريش وأذاها. See how Allah has protected me from all the curses of Quraysh. Because they always cursed Mudhammam and I'm Muhammad. Why are you worried about? So this was point 1A from our topic of 5 points. So, but the time is over. Here we can briefly, so that we can very briefly understand and remember what we have been discussing here. How do we know that he is a prophet? We said 5 things that we are supposed to look. Before we look at these things, if a person is really talking to you about the topic, you want to ask him, do you believe in any prophet or not? And you want to start from there. And then the person believes in a prophet. Then you say, we need 5 criteria here. The first is this person's personal life. And this is what we were discussing about the personal life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other 4 things, inshallah, in fact, the remaining of this topic and the other 4 things, inshallah, we'll try to cover them tomorrow in the afternoon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us full iman and trust in our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A iman that can never be shaken. And we can present each and every message, each and every practice, each and every word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with full confidence that this came from a Prophet of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us to be the true followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqih, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.